Holding on the Hey Amud Aleph, the bottom Rashi.
So, Yosed is a completely of a lot. It's like a spike or a nail. So, if you hear something improper, so the halacha is, Yinech Etzbo, Shehishvuya to Yosed, which is, comes to a point, it's inclined literally, like a Yosed. Be able to put it in his ears. My time of Klumber, my Dormis ki Yusedis, how like Yusedis, in what way are they like Yusedis? You name it the Mechalkon, Shemachalokim Zumizu, Beinam Chuboris Yachad. That the point he's saying, Rabbi Lozer said that they're Dormis to Yusedis. The Morris says, what does it mean? Does it mean the fact that they're, each one is distinct and independent? So the Morris said, that's because, what's his question? My time, Mechad Achad, and he'll say, Kushihi, we're asking on Rabbi Lozer's question. Kalachas Yeshla Botzaruch. Each one has a need. Va'af Botzaruch and Kaboya, and coming to a usage in mitzvahs. Botzaruch and Kaboya and Kachim. Zuzeris. In Katana Moedim Zeris Shachoshin. The smallest finger is the Choshin, that was the width of the Choshin. Zeris Urkai, Zeris Rachbay. The second one is called Kemitza, Zukemitza. So the pinky is Zeris. The second finger is called Kemitza. Me'etz b'sha etzol ha'ketano maschilam likmoitz. That's when we do Kemitza. So when the Karim would do Kemitza, he would take a handful of a mincha, which is presented as flour. He would take a handful and put that on the mizbeach, and the rest would be eaten by the kahan, you know, made into bread and eaten by the kahanim.
So, what's the idea of this finger?
So, when the handful was, he would cover his hands. He would cover his palm with his hands, but only use three fingers to cover the finger next to the katana, the finger next to the pinky. He would use those three fingers from that one. Maschilan likmoitz choyfer sholosh etzbos al pasiyot. He would bend over three fingers onto the palm. Hakemitza be'ama be'etzbo, which the three of them would be, which are the kemitza. That's why it's called kemitza. The ama is the tall finger, and the etzbo is the pointing finger. Kermitz would be kermitz. So he would do is he would cover his palm of his hand with these three fingers, and then he'd plunge it into the flour oil mixture, and it would force flour into that handful. Then he would use his thumb to smooth it off on top, and his pinky to smooth it off on the bottom, and that would be the kemitza.
One handed.
The Morris said it was one of the more difficult avodas in the Beis Hamikdash. And then you put that on the mizbeach. So that's the kemitza. Zu amo me'agdor lemodin amo amas binyan ramas kelim. So the measure of an amo is from the top of the tallest finger till the elbow. That's how you measure an amo. So we need the finger to measure the amo. That's used. Rashi throws an amas binyan ramas kelim, and that's interesting thought. The Mor actually says that in the Beis Hamikdash, that the Amma, which was used for the binyan, which was used in the building of the structure, and the Amma, which was used to measure the kelim, were two different Ammas. One had five tefachim in it, one had six tefachim in it. An Amma's binyan was six tefachim, an Amma's kelim was five tefachim. Because there's different measures of an amma, depending how large you know, there's the relationships of the hand vis-a-vis the amma. So we have a look, we have a pasuk, we have a masara. The Moreland's not from a pasuk, it's a pasuk in Yechezkel. That the amma for the binyan was an one tefach longer. But Rashi says you measured both, you're still using the finger. Zu etzba, what was the etzba used for? The matan domim shalchatos, the chsibe be etzba o. The only korban which they would put the dam on the mizbeach with the kohen by dipping his finger into the blood was chatos. although the Kohanim, they would throw the dam from the keli itself. But you need the etzba for that purpose. And so Gadol, the Bain Yad, the Aaron of the Mitzara. So by Aaron, it says that in the process of the of chinuch of the Kohanim, when they created the original kedusha of the Kohanim, they needed to place it on the Bain Yad, on the thumb. And by Mitzara, when he goes through the star process, we place the dam and the shemen on the Bain Yad of the Mitzara, on the thumb. So we need it for that. So Meshupos, they're pointy, Agushas Balaz, Alya is Basar Shabasefa Oizen, the tail, the flesh which is at the bottom of the ear, is very soft and pliable. So you can bend it into your ear to cover if you hear something improper. Then it says a person shouldn't be Mashmiya La'ozam Dora Talim because they're nichos tchila levorim, rakos bedakos bechobas mikulam. They're the softest one, the thinnest ears. One, and they will
the ears.
That they will singe first. However, so when the goy roasts the head, shar lemechol afilu mireish udnei. So you're allowed to eat even from the Reish Udnei, Bava Bisha Mamar, Libosh, even though that cooks first. Okay. It's interesting on this Gemara, the Chofetz Chaim, you know, understands this Gemara that it's a Locha Lamais. It's not just Taman Agat Pisa Bagat Azot, that there is a concept of not hearing. There is, besides, the Raisa is Surim, of Lashon Hara, there's an Isser of saying Lashon Hara, there's an issue of accepting Lashon Hara. He does not see in a deraisa level there's an issue of hearing Lashon Hara. But what he understands, the Gemara over here saying that on this drasha level that we're saying over here, the Rabbanon, he seems to say it's a Rabbanon, there is an issue of hearing Lashon Hara. Now if you're in a situation and they're saying Lashon Hara, you have a chiyuv to stop hearing it. And that's the Gemara saying, you have to cover your ears. So he talks about a situation where, you know, where people are sitting and speaking Lashon Hara. He says, and the person has a chiyuv to close his ears with his fingers or with the bottom of his ear. There's an issue of hearing Lashon Hara. He says if a person, however, is not ready to do his chiyuv because it's embarrassing, it looks strange. He says he has a chiyuv to leave. The situation, if he's not going to leave, so then he has a chiyuv at least not to be makabel the Lashon Hara. So he says, for this chiyuv of Shmiya, which he's not keeping in makabel the more by hearing ksuba, he says there's an isser, he has to at least make clear that he is not getting any pleasure from hearing it. And the purpose of that discussion is this Gemara Masechta, which talks about the idea that if a person is in a situation and something is forced upon him, so if he was innocent in being in that situation and he clearly does not want the benefit from it, the pleasure from it, so then he's not over this or receiving that. The more I talk about the context of Avodah Zorah, there's a smell of Avodah Zorah, very nice smell of Avodah Zorah, anything which would be a Surya No. So if a person was not negligent being in the situation, he didn't go to the place. Chofetz Chaim says in a case where a person, for example, a person sat down by Shalshudas and he was not familiar with his seatmates, he was not aware that the people might speak Lashon Hara, and then the next thing he knows, they're saying Lashon Hara. Right? So he wasn't negligent in placing himself there. But if a person knows the people already, and these people are people which he knows, every Shalshudas, he say Lashon Hara, so he's negligent by sitting down there. So then he has no heter of staying there and not enjoying it. He has a chiyuv to leave. He must leave. Because then his act of going there is as if he's taking Lashon Hara to himself. In a case where he was not aware, so the act of going there wasn't considered part of the Avera. So then it's being forced upon him. So if he can leave, he should leave. If he can't, if it's difficult to leave, if he's uncomfortable leaving, he should cover his ears, which... he's not going to do that, but at least he should make clear that he should not enjoy it, and he should make clear to the people there that he's not interested in hearing. So he sees this Gemara as a halacha lamaisa Gemara. It's not just an interesting Musar Shmuz.
There's a hearing and then there's the accepting as in crediting what's being said.
So there's an isser of kabbalah such as narkosah means that you believe it. Right. And then there's an isser of hearing, which is, you know, you shouldn't be involved in hearing lashon hara.
Does it matter whether it comes from a Jew or a guy who's transmitting it? Could be about a Jew.
There is an isser, the isser of, as far as I know, regards to the isser of Shmia or Kabbalah, I'm not sure it should make a difference.
So when you listen to the radio, you listen to the news, something like that.
The Chofetz Chaim didn't deal with listening to the radio, listening to the news. He dealt with reading a newspaper. Right? You know, so that was, you know, he discusses a possible heter, which he's skeptical about. He discusses a possible heter. Is there any heter, something which is a well-known fact, is there an isser of becoming aware of it? Part of the solution her is, you know, the gossip factor. I'm not going to believe it, you know, but I'm not even supposed to find out about it. Yeah, well, it's something which is so well-known, is there such a limitation? So that he brings at least one opinion which says it doesn't apply. He is very skeptical if you can rely on that opinion. That's the frum version of the news would be very boring. They would talk about, you know, prices a little bit. They wouldn't talk about people. You know, they wouldn't have too much of anything they're not so sneeze about. They wouldn't talk about either. Probably wouldn't talk about Avodah Zorah. Wouldn't talk about Ritzicha so much. You know, Zalman Sorotskin and Zaznaim Latara. He asked the Kasha that you have on the Prashat Zerachim, this is Vatachon Chodarach, it says by the Ritzeach B'Shergeg that they would have to prepare the roads, at every fork in the road there would be a sign which way to go to the Miklats. So he says, he wants to know, so it means that any person who's traveling in a situation of Ritzeach B'Shergeg, anytime he got to any type of a question, he would know exactly where to go. He wouldn't have to start asking, you know, directions. And, you know, meanwhile, there's somebody, the girl of Dom is after him. That's not very good for him to have that pressure. So he would. There was always the Torah said you have to prepare the road. So he asked the question, theoretically, the Chara, there should be a mitzvah for a Aliyah Leregel, there should be a sign which way through Yerushalayim. There's no such requirement. So he says, the Torah is subtly directing our conversation. When a person is going up to Yerushalayim and he's not sure which way to go, he'll ask somebody from, you know, he says, which way to Yerushalayim? He says, why are you going to Yerushalayim? So I'm going to Regel. Oh, so the conversation is about Aliyah Leregel. But the conversation is not about Ritzicha B'Shergeg, which way to go. Like, that's the Torah moves the conversation away from those type of things into Yom Kedusha. A little bit different society. Okay. So the Gemara, Yiboy Lehu. This next piece of Gemara is a little bit intense. Okay. Ma'al liba b'tchila b'Shabbos. Are you allowed to do the first bia on Shabbos? So Rashi says, I mean, we have two brises which have discussed this issue, and both said it's usher for two different reasons. One says clearly because of the problem of chabura. One says because of this Shem Yishu ben Raif, the Gemara says, right? By the way, the more comes out the Moskana. So Rashi says either the person who asked the Shaila was not familiar with the two brises, or even if it was, it wasn't sure if they are accepted la halacha. This Gemara's conversation will totally focus on the Chabura issue. Will not discuss the Ben Raif issue. So Tosfos says that this Gemara, which is a very important source of discussion in regards to understanding the dinim of Chabura, but so it's really Masechta Shabbos, but there's still an issue of Ben Raif, which Tosfos says this Gemara was not getting involved in the issue of Ben Raif. It wasn't aware of this issue of Ben Raif, etc. Okay.
Ben Raif issue was for Shabbat, was for Motzei Shabbat.
Well, at the end of the conversation, the Morris says, once you tell me that Mishu is Ben Oiv, so Hashad also the Hachi, Erev Shabbos Nami, is Erev Shem Yishu Ben Oiv. So we can say that the Brisa is consistent, it puts the two together, Erev Shabbos and Motzoi Shabbos, they're both for the same reason. So once the Morris said that, the Morris is saying that this Brisa of Loyibu Batila, make out Mikach, Loyibu Lo Erev Shabbos Lo Motzoi Shabbos, so that is a that is not because of Chabura. The Brisa on the top of Gemara Beis says explicitly because of Chabura. My Frishin Zachosim in the Kala Leli Shabbos Tchila Vneishu Oisa Chabura. So that Brisa clearly says the reason is because of Chabura. The other Brisa, which we quoted, Bein Kach and Bein Kach, they shouldn't be well Batila, the Erev Shabbos and Matzoi Shabbos, that Brisa doesn't say why. So more assumes the Erev Shabbos is the problem because of Chabura, like the previous Brisa. More saying, no, you don't have to say that. Okay. So more says like this. The Gemara is going to present the Dam by the Psulim, which is going to come out due to the act of breaking open the Psulim. So the Gemara is going to deal with two issues over here, which is the Chabura issue of wounding, and the second issue is that he's making a usable opening which will facilitate having relations in the future. So he's making an opening. So that's a Pesach, it's a form of building something. So the two issues we have to discuss. So first one, the Gemara says, that we look at the Dam, how do we look at the relationship of the Dam by the Psulim? Is it Dam Mifkad Pocket or Chaburi Michper? Is the blood attached, and therefore there's an act of Chabur to take it out? Or is the Pshat that there's Dam, which is, as it were, held back by the membrane? When you remove the membrane, so the Dam comes out, and that's not called Chabur. That's just taking away a blockage. The Isser of Chabura goes under the umbrella of Netilas Neshama. One of the Lamed Tes Malachos is Shechet, which is Netilas Neshama. That's Netilas Neshama in the total level. And taking blood, which is part of the body, and pulling it out would be a minimalist act of taking away some kiyus over there. Okay.
I mean, are they trying to say that the blood is not attached to the regular blood in the body? Is that what they're saying? Sort of.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the first question the Mori asked. Now the Mor is going to go through a series of Vim Timsel Armor. If we'll get a clarification, and the Mor is going to present both ways. First, the Mor is going to go through a series of questions assuming A, then the Mor is going to go through a series of questions assuming B. So the A, the option was Mifkat Pocket, that the Dam is not attached, but it's like a just sitting there as a bikkurim, or Rashi Lashon, it's just sitting there as an item which is shamur, it's protected by the membrane. Vintim Talarma Dam Mifkat Pocket. The Dam is Mifkat Pocket, so there's no problem with Chabura. We have a separate problem, which is that he's making a Pesach, he's making an opening. So we say like this, the Dam Hutzarech Mishori, his main intent of this Maisabiyah is to clarify if she's a Psula or not, which he will do that by seeing the Dam. So all he's interested in is the Dam, and not the Pesach. Or maybe his intent is for the Pesach to create the opening, and that's a form of a binyan. He's in some way finishing off the process of the woman's development. Listen more in Shabbos, if you remember, the more brought in Rabbi Eliezer's Shita, and at the Raisa level, that the pasuk says that it's shaykh binyan by a person, because it says by chava, but even as a tzelus, so the Torah uses lashon of binyan in regards to build, creating the chava. So it means it's, he says that binyan is something which is applicable to human being. So if I'm building a building and I open up, then I have a wall and I open up and I make an opening there for going in and out. That's part of the process of building. So I'm doing that in her body. Do we say that? So Morshal is if that's his intent, it's going to be problematic. If it's not his intent, the more is suggesting that should be mutter. Well, the more is going to challenge that in the next step. That his intent is for the dam. The opening is not what he's intending for. And it happens. It's not his intent. So Morris says we still get involved in the question of it's Dabar Shedim Iskavin. But he is making a Pesach.
That wasn't his intent, right?
So that's the machlokes between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda. Dabar Shedim Iskavin is Dabar Shedim Iskavin mutter or aser. If that's not your intent, is it mutter or not? So halachah Rav Shimon Dabar Dabar Shedim Iskavin mutter. Even if it's not your intent, if that's what you're doing, it's aser. Karz of Yehuda. So even if I say down, if you pocket an omer problem of chabura, and that's not my intent to make the Pesach, it still might be problematic if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, Dabar Shedim Iskavin is aser. Okay. Now, even if you tell me the argument of the halachah like Rabbi Yehuda, which then should be problematic. So the issue which you still have an argument that there's a separate rule by Hilchos Shabbos. Dabar Shedim Iskavin applies to all of the Torah. It's not limited to Shabbos. According to Rav Shimon, in a case where a person is being actively doing A and B results from it, it's not aser. Dabar Shedim Iskavin is mutter. According to Rav Yehuda, it's aser. But the Mor says, but there's a specific, even Karn Rebihuda told us also, there's a specific Shabbos issue of that Mekalkel makes a potter. So is it Mekalkel who ate till a Pesach or Mesakan who ate till a Pesach? The Rashi says, why would it be a Kilkel? Well, it facilitates with this person the act of Bia. On the other hand, we know that people look at a psula as more kosher than a bula. Right? People want to marry a psula more than a bula. So the standard attitude is that a psula is more kosher. Well, she's no longer a psula. So you, in that sense, there was a kilkul. So do we look at this as a kilkul or a...
He doesn't intend for it to happen, but it's a definite thing that's going to happen.
So you know what? Before we get to definite, even if it's not definite, right? Dabar Shedim Iskavin according to Rav Yehuda is also even if it's not definite, right? If it's a potential byproduct, when it does happen, it's also according to Rav Yehuda. So you can't do it because of that possibility. Rav Shimon says you don't have to worry about the possibility. If it's definite, that's a coming called psik resha. Even Rav Shimon holds it's also. So Tarshim here says, what's the more saying that this is this depends on whether the pasuk Rabbi Yehuda or Shimon? This is a psik resha. Tarshim says no, it's not a psik resha because it's possible that the first bia, the man will go in such a way that he will not necessarily break the psulim. It's not definite they'll break the psulim. So according to Shimon, you can't answer him from doing the first bia on Shabbos because of breaking the psulim, because it's not definite it's going to break the psulim. It's a very good chance. So according to Yehuda, it would be aser. So that's the first series of questions. So the first question in either version, we'll see another version in a second, is do we look at the dam is it a chabura issue or not? So the first version is okay. Let's take the chabura issue off the table because it's mifkat pocket. We have the next issue is what's with the Pesach. So is that his intent? Even let's say it's not his intent, do you pass like Rabbi Yehuda that even with no intent it's still aser. And even like Rabbi Yehuda, maybe we have a heter of mekalkel. And Tosfos points out that normally in the halacha of Shabbos, that mekalkel is potter of loss, it's not mutter. But we should argue that for the purpose of the mitzvah element, we're going to matter the Yisud Rabbanon. This is also mirabbanon. So for that, we can say for the mitzvah purpose, we're going to be matter. Okay. Okay. Now, Ika the Amri, let's say some present the shadow like this. So the first question is the same. Is the dam mifkat pocket, which is like just being contained there, or is it attached to the body, and therefore it's a chabura to remove it? So the first version of the questions focused on if you accept dam mifkat pocket and we can take away the chabura issue, there's still the Pesach issue. The second version says, well, let's say you assume dam chabura mifkat, the blood is attached, and therefore there is a chabura issue. So is there anything more to consider? Okay. So the dam is chabura michbur. So there's a chabura element taking place. So maybe we could argue the following. If his intent is to make the chabura, so he wants to see if she's a psula or not, that's part of his intent, so he's intending to make a chabura, so that's going to be osur, and it is a chabura. Or do you say his intent is just to do maisibia hanos atzma, he has no intent to create the chabura, and like Tosfos points out, it's not a vada he'll be making a chabura, because it might not tear the psula, and therefore it's going to be mutter. And the Morris says, well, that the Mor says that you're suggesting that it's a darshan miskaven. He has no intent for the chabura. If his intent is he wants to see the dam, he has intent for a chabura. If he has no intent for chabura, that's told the machlokes from Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda. So who are we passing like? So besides the first version we were discussing Makalkal regards to the Pesach, there's also a question of Makalkal regards to the Chabura. Now, there is a Machloikis the more is introduced in the next step. Chabura is an interesting question, because Chabura in some ways intrinsically always is a Makalkal. So is Makalkel going to be a valid reason to downgrade the Malacha of a Chabura to make it only Drabonin? So that's the Machloikas of Masechta Shabbos. That itself is a Machloikas. So the Mor says, first of all, let's figure out is this a Makalkel or a Masakel? So if you assume the law is like Rav Shimon, it's Rav Shani Miskaben, and it's Mutter. Again, our first shayla is it is a chabura or not? So we're answered it is a chabura. Let's assume that possibility. The blood is attached, and therefore it's an act of chabura taking it out. Morris says, well, is that his intent or not? So Morris says, okay, let's say it's not his intent. Do we pass like Rav Shimon that that's Mutter, or like Rav Yehuda that's Asur? We're still, okay, let's assume we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. So Darshan Shem Miskaven is also, but maybe it should be mutter over here. So due to the argument of Makalkal, is it a Makalkal? And the next question is Makalkal mutter? Bechabur. It is Lamar Lachim Rabbi Yehuda, Makalkal Bechabur, Misakan Bechabur. Is it considered over here that what you're doing is an act of Kilkal? And therefore, assuming the next step that Kilkal is mutter, be mutter, or be asad rabban, and then mutter for tzarech mitzvah. Or is it considered a masake, right? that do we look at the way you can make this, bring this woman to the next stage of having the opening and being available for bia, is by breaking and wounding her. So that is the tikkun. So this gevura, is the more says that shaychet, you're definitely wounding the animal, but it's considered a tikkun because you have an animal which is shachut now, which you can eat. So not every gevura is automatically a kilkul. So we look at, so that's the argument before. Do we look at this as an act of kilkul? It's downgrading her, so it's kilkul. All this is kilkul. So he downgraded her with a wound. You know, guy goes over somebody and punches, you know, beats him up, and they puts him in the hospital. He goes, you know, what's his value on the slave market right now? Much less. So all it is, right? So this woman got beaten up, and she has her value went down on the slave market. She's a bula now, right? Or there's a tikkun involved. That's the that v'tin talarmer mekalkel b'chaburahu. More so, even if you'll argue is that mekalkel. So interestingly enough, in the machlokes of Makalkal, Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda have three arguments in regards to Hilchos Shabbos, and maybe other halachas as well. But Hilchos, they come out in Hilchos Shabbos. They argue, but there was any miskaven. Rav Yehuda says it's an issur d'oraisa. Rav Shimon says it's mutter. They argue by Malacha Shein Tzicha L'Gufa. Yehuda says it's Chai, Rav Shimon says it's Potter. They argue by Mekalkel B'Chavura, Rav Shimon says Chai, and Yehuda says Potter. They flip. And the more actually says, or at least the way some Rishonim learned, that the argument number two and argument number three go together. Because most cases of the Mekalkel B'Chavura, the Chavura itself is not beneficial, it creates a benefit somewhere else. That's a malachah shen asicha l'gufa.
Later on down the road.
Well, even right now, they shech the animal, so the animal is now shochet. So the chibur is after pulling out the blood. It's not really beneficial. That itself is not beneficial, it's that it creates a tikkun in regards to the fact that now you can eat the meat. Right? So the more said, that's a malachah shen asicha l'gufa. So according to the Yehuda, the Lachshan Tzichel Gufa is Chayiv. So I don't have to look at the Chabura as being beneficial. The benefit is according to the Shimon, Lachshan Tzichel Gufa is Potter. It's not the Raisa. So you can't say he's Chayiv. It's considered a Tikkun because something else is getting benefit. So why is Mekalkel Chayiv? The answer is because Mekalkel B'Chabura is Chayiv. So Shimon L'Shitasa, he has to look at Mekalkel B'Chabura as Chayiv. Because you can't look at the other benefits. You have to look at this itself. And this itself is detrimental. The answer is yeah. But by this malacha, that's chayiv. Different than all the other malachas. That's not true. Different than the 37 other ones. The more says that you have the same argument by fire. Like the wood says, wow, this is great. We're being burnt to smithereens. Yeah, we got a fire out of it. But the wood says, you know, thank you very much. So Mekalkel by Havara, you have the same issue. So you have a great, it's wonderful, you have your food is cooked, but the wood is reduced to ash. So the act is done on the wood. So that's a kilkul. The benefit is in the pot. So Judas says, no problem, I have a problem with that. So this act, even though it's not benefit for itself, it's a benefit for something else. That's chayiv. Rav Shimon says that doesn't help me. So Rav Shimon has to hold the Mekalkel by Havara is chayiv. The more says Mekalkel by Chabura and Havara, according to Shimon, is chayiv. So more says, if you'll argue over here Mekalkel, if we'll accept that Rav Shimon, Yehuda's opinion that Rav Shimon is chayiv is a problem. We'll argue he's not. That's not his intent. But the Darshan Miskaven is a problem. The Morris says, okay, but now we have the issue that it's a kilkul. Yeah, it's a kilkul. Morris says, okay, good, but who cares? If we possibly get shimmed by kilkul, it doesn't help me. So that's the Gemara Shaila. So the Gemara has two ways to present the Shaila. Now the Gemara is going to try and answer it. Let's see some Rashis. Okay. Okay. Ma'aliva b'tchila. The Mor says that the people who asked this question were not familiar with the Brisa which we quoted before. Or alternatively, if they were familiar with it, they're asking is, do we paskin like it or not? So the first question is, how do we look at the relationship of the dam by the psulim to the psulim? Is the dam mifkat pocket? It's a language of kamo pikadin. It's an item which is contained, kept safe there. Konos v'oymed. It's just being held together. It's not absorbed into the walls. That the act of taking it out requires an act of chabura. But rather, El Shapesach Noel Bufanov. It's as if there's a door which is blocking it. When you open the door, it comes out. A chabura mechbur, or no. Dam Sulim Yotze Yede Chabura Hu. It's ripping it apart from the area which remains intact, and that act of tearing it, ripping it apart, causes it to bleed. So it's like any wound. So the first version of the Mor says, "Intim tzalar mifkat pocket." If you'll accept mifkat pocket, veber mishum chabura. There's no act of chabura of causing it to bleed. What is the person's intent when he pulls out the dam? If you hold mifkat pocket, so taking out the dam is not a problem. So that's his focus. He wants to see if she's a psula or not. Bishori, that'll be mutter, the hold mifkat pocket. His goal is to make an opening for future use. So that's a form of binyan. In some way, he's completing her. The Mor says, okay, see if you hold his kavanas for Pesach, it's going to be us. If you hold his kavanas for Dam, and the Pesach is just happening, that's not Rashani Miskabin. It's learning the Dhamma Miskabin, the Pesach. Meal Kurga, Pisca, Mamela Habi, there is a Pesach taking place. So, Loch Gribuda, the Dhamma Miskabin, the Osir. Do we all agree with the Dhamma Shani Miskabin, the Osir? Oh, Kurim Shimon, Umutr. In terms of secretion, Will Yamas, who Sarashi and Tyson both ask, Kurt's the case of secretion. Secretion is it's a phrase in Shas, which the Mor is saying it's inevitable. That's that even if Shimon agrees in a case where it's inevitable, and the actual phrase was more is saying, if you take a chicken and shove up his head, is it not going to die? That's, you know, that's the way to say it. It's going to die. Right? It's obvious. It's inevitable. Why the Mor uses that example? That's a good big discussion in the Chagiga. It's a very problematic example. The Mor says if the reference is regards to Hilchos, so the Mor saying that the Mor says that they would give the kids the heads to play with of the chickens. Right. So his goal wasn't to kill the chicken. His goal was just to get a head. So the Mor says that's an example of the Rosh Hashanah Miskaven, but since it's inevitable, Shimon holds its osur. That's not his Rosh Hashanah Miskaven. That's the case of Melachos and Shikha Lagufa. Right, he's intending to cut the head off. But his goal isn't to kill the animal. His goal is to get a head. Right. So that's Melachos and Shikha Lagufa. That's not the Rosh Hashanah Miskaven. So that's a horrible example of the Rosh Hashanah Miskaven, if that's what we're looking for. Right, so that's like the big problem that Kranim had. Okay. The Aruch says that the issue over there wasn't, not like Rashi, it wasn't chicken heads, it was referring to a human head. And the issue was the Melacha was Ritzicha, not on Shabbos. The Isser was Ritzicha, not in regards to Shabbos. And he has a whole different way to learn the whole Sukkah, but Rashi learns it's regards to Shabbos. There's no heter of Melacha Shenetzich Lagufa by Ritzicha. There's no heter of Melacha Shenetzich Lagufa by Ritzicha.
The other version
of the Aruch. No, the Aruch. No, the Aruch. The Sefer called the Aruch was written by a Rishon who preceded Rashi. His name is Amnosin from the city of Rome. Amnosin Ish Romi. Rashi quotes him a few places in Shas. And he wrote a lexicon. And in the lexicon, he translates what the words mean. He explains the Gemaras when they come up. He preceded Jasher by about 900 years. And the same way Jastro throws in his comments on the Stan Gemara, while he's doing it, he does so as well. But we're here dealing with a Rishon, or early Rishon, doing that. So, under the word psik, he explains, like the phrase psik reish v'loyamos, and then he gives an example. What that's referring to is killing somebody, taking somebody's head off without intent to kill him. So it's not lachos and tzil l'gufa, because there's no heter lachos and tzil l'gufa by ritzicha. So the more, anyway, you remember psik reish v'loyamosu. Anyway, whatever the phrase means, it means it's inevitable, and Shimon is mort over there. Habachin lo lekamon. The Mor is going to ask that question. Mishanina, we answer yesh habachin batia. I mean, dam yotze. There's some people which they go in a way which is, instead of going in straight, they go in a way which is at an angle. It doesn't cause the dam to come out. Vav ein pesach niftach. It doesn't break the psulim either. Even the person who doesn't do that intentionally, it might happen, and therefore it's not a psik reish. Let's hold the Rashi's here.